Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This is the day that thou hast made, dear Lord, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast brought us together, Lord, to hear thy word and to meditate upon the things, Lord, that thou hast done, thy great power. And so, Father, our objective in this day is to lift up on high the name of Jesus, to glorify him for what he has done, to edify ourselves in our faith that we would have in this greater power that is greater than us, Father, and that those who know thee not would be drawn unto thee. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn and read together from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 5, the first 20 verses. Mark, chapter 5, first 20 verses.
Читайте святые речи Господни, святую Евангелие по Марку, 5 глава, первых 20 броев. Святую Евангелие по Марку, глава 5.
And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountain, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter in unto them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel.
Almighty and gracious Father in heaven, it is before thee that we come and bow our knees, come before thee and bow our hearts in prayer before thee, to bring our worship, our thanksgiving, and our praise to thee in this morning hour. We are thankful, O Lord, for thy word, which teaches us the way of Jesus Christ and reveals his life, his power, and his salvation that is extended even to us. And we can also thank thee, Lord, for the great things that thou hast done for us and our lives. We have a testimony, those who have come to thee for salvation and made a covenant with thee, that thou art faithful to thy word. And Jesus Christ truly is our Savior, the one who has bled and died, that we might be set free from the shackles of sin that bind and mock mankind. We thank thee for this great deliverance that thou hast wrought in our lives, and we pray for those who are gathered with us in this morning hour that do not know thy peace, thy salvation, and thy freedom. And we pray, dear Lord, as thy word is preached and as thy gospel goes forth in this morning hour, that thou would prepare hearts to hear, that thou would prepare hearts to have faith, to believe, that thou would prepare hearts to be surrendered, yielded, and obedient to thy precious word. We pray, dear Lord, that we would desire with a sincere heart more and more of thee and thy precious word, that thou would influence and mold us as thou would have us to be, more like our Savior, more like the humble servant, more like the one who is obedient in all things to his Father. Help us, O Lord, that we might walk circumspectly, that we might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called, to bring honor and glory to thy name, and that others might see that we have a Father, and that we are thy children, and that thou dost take care of us, and thou dost love us, and that thou art always faithful. May our lives be a reflection of thy light and thy truth that would bring glory and honor to thee, and that we would be good ambassadors for thy kingdom. And we pray that in this morning and in this afternoon and whenever we have an opportunity to gather together and thy word is open, that we would seek, O Lord, thy face, that we would seek thy strengthening, and that we would be asking the questions of ourselves, how does this word apply to me? And how, O Lord, thou would speak to our hearts to teach us, to correct us, and to guide us into thy truth. Even as we have sung in our opening hymn, this day is to be hallowed unto thee. And our business and our work that we must apply all of our strength towards is to praise thee. And when we think that we have gathered in this place, not to meet friends first and foremost, though it is a great blessing to have this fellowship and to see one another, but that we would be drawing close to thee, the eternal God and our Creator, it brings our hearts where we ought to be, to a place of reverence, a place of respect, a place of lowliness before thee, a place of awe and wonder at thy great works that thou hast wrought, thy creation, thy salvation, the preservation of thy word, and thy faithfulness throughout all generations. And Lord, that we could be recipients and be able to partake in thy divine nature, Lord, it is a wonder, and it is something that we must give thee thanks for. For we are not worthy, but thou hast been so kind, so gracious to us. So may we, with all of our hearts, bring thee praise from our lips, our hearts, our minds. May they be devoted unto thee in this day as we come together to worship. And may we together, with one voice and one heart, watch and pray. For we all face temptations. We all face the enemy of our souls on a daily basis. And even today, he is working to take the word out of hearts. We pray that we would be on guard. We pray that we would be turning unto thee in need for thy help to preserve thy word into our hearts, that it would not soon be taken away, that it would not soon be supplanted by cares, by fears and worries, or desires for things of this world, but that thy word would, as a good seed, land on our ears, be taken into our minds and our hearts. Find good ground and bring forth fruit for thy honor and for thy glory, for thou art so worthy. And we give thee the thanks for that. We would pray, O Lord, also for our children in Sunday school as they learn, and for their teachers, that thou would bless them with the ability to present thy word, and not only present the word and the lessons, but also the reality of thy love for them, that they might feel in this place the truth of thy love and the love of the brotherhood, and that they would one day desire to be a part of thy family. We thank thee, O Lord, for the blessing that we are able to gather together unhindered, and we have the physical strength, and thou hast blessed us with safety to be assembled together in this place. Yet we are mindful, Lord, that there are those who either do not have the health, do not have the ability to gather together to worship thee. We want to pray for them, that thou would visit them, and that thou would remind them that thou wilt never leave them comfortless. Thou wilt come to them in their hour of need, for they have a desire to worship thee, to praise thee. And Lord, we also pray for those who are wandering, those who are turning their backs from thee. We pray that thou, as a good shepherd, would seek them out, and that thou would help them in humility to turn in repentance to thee and find the rest for their souls that they long for and that their families are praying for daily. We give thee thanks for all these things, O Lord, and pray unto thee these things, not because thou dost not know them or thou art not aware of them. Thou art aware of all of it. But we pray because we believe that thou art able to do it. And it is our heart's desire that thou would. And it is our heart's desire that thou would even teach us the things that we are not aware of, the things that we need to know, the things that need to come to our minds for our teaching, edification, and strengthening in the faith. And so we pray that thou would do that and be with our brothers as they would share the word with us in this morning hour to thy honor and to thy glory. For we pray these things through Jesus' name. Amen.
We have a blessed opportunity to be here together in God's house, and I'm sure we've prayed that God's Spirit would be in our midst and that he would bless us richly throughout this day. There will be much that will be said in this day. There will be many prayers offered and much fellowship and much of being together in throughout this day. And I'm sure we have a lot of anticipation of the blessings of it all, of the fellowship that we have together and in worshiping our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we come to church and we recognize that this is about something that's far greater than that of ourselves, this is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son, who came to be a sacrifice for all mankind. And when we come into his presence and into his house with this demeanor, with this attitude, that we are coming to worship God, we are coming to worship his Son, that it will be fulfilling for us. It will be a blessing for us, rather than coming for our own personal reasons. When we come to God's house to honor him and to glorify him and to sing forth his praises and to take as much as we can from his word as we consider it together, it will be a great blessing for each and every one of us that are gathered here together. We read a chapter this morning of a time where there was a man that was severely possessed with devils, and it was a time where Jesus had spent very, very little time in this place of Decapolis in the land of the Gadareans, where he was here. He was there for just a short time. The Bible speaks here that as he arrived on their coast, that immediately this man that was possessed with the devils had come to him, and that he had healed them, and that the pigs were violently running down the hill into the sea, and then those that were watching them told those in the city and in the country what had happened, and then they came and they saw the man that was possessed with the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and immediately the people said, "Depart." They asked Jesus to depart. And so it wasn't very long that Jesus was here in this area. It wasn't long at all. It could have been hours or it could have been a day. We don't know that, not that that matters that much, but the point here I want to make here is that Jesus made it so that he would go here to this area, to Decapolis, to the land of the Gadareans. It was a purposeful destination that he had. And not only that, but the Bible says that what's written in the Bible is written for our edification, that we might, that those things which are written, we might believe them, and by believing, we might have salvation through his name. And so this was written, and this act was done that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the power, is the ultimate power, and that he came for healing. And so the Bible says that Jesus came to save souls. This is why Jesus came, is to save souls. And he came here to this land of the Gadareans, in Decapolis, to heal this man that was possessed with many devils. To heal him, and that others might witness of the power that Jesus Christ has. Jesus Christ has great power. Great power. And that was displayed to them. And they all marveled at the power that Jesus Christ had. And Jesus Christ, before he ascended back up to his Father, said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That power belongs to him. That power was often displayed as he was here upon this earth and doing the ministry that he was fulfilling God's will. That power was displayed, but that power was also restrained. And we see that here even in this chapter, that both his great power was displayed and that his great power was restrained as well. They were traveling across the sea, and they came to this place. And as they were coming, there was this great storm. And again, this was written so that we might understand that Jesus Christ, he was fully God and he was fully man. For us, that's very hard to understand. But he was so much man that he was sleeping on a pillow. That's how much of a man he was during this storm. But he was so much God that he awoke and he calmed the wind and he calmed the sea. So we can see through even that as he was coming to this place, that he displayed his power, yet he displayed his humanity as well. And so there's much that we can receive from the scriptures, and thanks be to God that his scriptures are so rich and so full and so fulfilling in our lives, and it gives us great blessings. And so the Bible says here that he comes to the country of the Gadareans, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. Immediately this happens, and that's a hallmark of the Mark as he writes his gospel, is that things happen immediately, and he uses the words immediately and straightway quite often. And so it was that this man that was possessed with all these devils and the unclean spirit, he comes to Jesus immediately. And it gives a little background as to what he was like and where he lived and the things that were transpiring here in the land of the Gadareans. It says that he dwelt among the tombs. Today we would say he lived in the cemetery. He dwelt among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So in the second verse, it says that nobody could bind him, no man could bind him. And in the third verse, it says no man could tame him. There was no power of man of themselves to tame this man. There was no power in man of themselves to bind this man. But the power of Jesus Christ was. There was sufficient power there. Man couldn't do it, but Jesus did it, just by simply speaking a few words. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So if we can imagine, what a terror he must have been to those that dwelt in Gadarea. What a terror he must have been to them. How they at nighttime would just hear that crying coming from the cemetery, from the tombs. How they would hear that, and they would know that that man is loose. We can't even bind him. He was a terror to them. They could hear his crying and knowing that he would cut himself with these stones. And so, but the Bible says here that when this man saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That's amazing to think that this man that was possessed with a devil would come so quickly and worship him. And he says, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Here it was that Legion, these devils, they knew exactly who they were dealing with. They knew exactly who it was that came onto their shores. They knew that this was Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. And they gave Jesus the glory for that. The Bible also speaks about in other places of when Jesus would expel the devils out of people, that they would know who he was. Man didn't recognize who Jesus was, but the devils knew. The devils knew who Jesus was. In Luke's gospel, there was another incident, and it says, "The devils came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ." The devils knew that Jesus was the Son of God. The devils knew that Jesus was the Christ. And they worshipped him and they knew that they were subject unto Jesus, because they knew that he was that greatest power. And it's that greatest power that we've come today to worship and to glorify Jesus and the power that has been given unto him, because he is so worthy of that. He knew that the man possessed with the devil and the devils, they knew they had nothing to do with Jesus. They said, "What have I to do with thee?" Because they knew they were in darkness, but that Jesus was light. And so Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And so Jesus asked, "What is thy name?" He responds by saying, his name is Legion, for we are many. It was truly a great miracle that the power of Jesus was displayed here, that he had the authority even over many devils. And so they besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. That was their request. The devils had a request to Jesus. They knew they were subject. They knew they were defeated. They knew they didn't have power against Jesus. They knew that. And so they negotiated. They wanted some input as to what would happen with them. And so their request was that they would not be sent away out of the country. And so the Bible says here that there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and were choked in the sea. When we think of that multitude, a multitude that would be that great, a multitude of pigs, of 2,000, I can't envision that in my mind, but I'm thinking such a large area of land was covered with pigs, and they're all just running violently down into the sea and were choked. We can serve one of two masters. We can either serve the devil, or we serve he who has all power given unto him, Jesus Christ. If we serve the devil, he will likewise cause us to run violently down a steep place to destruction, and he will choke us in sin and death. If we allow our master to be the devil, that's what he will do with us. He will destroy us. He will take us violently down a steep place and choke us in sin and in death. When we think of how this man was, how he was cutting himself and crying and just being very violent, and how these devils were also very violent and taking the pigs down into the sea and choking them, we see what kind of a spirit that is. And yet when Jesus fills a heart, we can see what kind of a spirit that is as well. As it says here in verse number 15, that he was sitting. Now he was calm, and now he's at peace. He's sitting. He's in a peaceful state, and he's clothed. He's presented himself decently. He no longer has fresh cuts of him of cutting himself with stones. He's presented decently, and then he's in his right mind too. He's calm. He's at peace, and he's speaking coherently. He's speaking with the Spirit of God in him. So all the people that saw the swine, they run into the city and they run into the country, and they speak of that which was done. And so they come. They heard a great story that had happened. The power of God was manifest. They saw Jesus and the power that he displayed. And in their curiosity and in their desire to see and to know more, they came to Jesus. And they came to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil. Just as it was when Lazarus was raised from the dead. People came. They not only wanted to come to see Jesus, but they also wanted to come see Lazarus, that he was raised from the dead. And it says, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. The news had spread. A great miracle had happened among them. The power of Jesus Christ was displayed. The power, that great power that could do more than simply bind and tame a man. It could completely cast out a devil, a legion of devils. That's what the power of God came. And so that's what the power of God did. And so they came to see that and to come to know more about that. And so it was overwhelming for them. They couldn't take that all in, how a great miracle and the great power of God was manifest among themselves. It was overwhelming for them. They couldn't understand that. And so they simply just had a prayer, a request of Jesus for him to just simply depart out of their coast. He came to their coast, he did a great miracle, and they said, okay, leave. This is too much for us. They asked him to depart out of their coast. And so here it was that Jesus had great, great power, but to these men who asked him to leave, he simply restrained his power. He didn't display his power on them. He didn't override them. But he restrained his great power. The wind and the sea and the devils obeyed the voice of Jesus. But here Jesus was obeying man in their request for him to depart out of their coast. A great marvel. A great testament as to who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says that Jesus was not well received, and many were offended by him. There were instances where he was well received, but there were also instances where he was not well received. In the next chapter, we can read that when he came to his own country, they were astonished when they heard him speaking, and they were offended in him, and they said, from whence hath this man this wisdom, hath these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? We know this man. He's a carpenter. He's the son of Mary. We know his brothers. We know them. Here's their names. James, Joseph, Judah, Simon. And are not all his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They didn't want to believe at who he was. Though his great power was manifest, though his wisdom was there, they didn't want to believe. And so Jesus has a message for those that would not believe, for those that would not marvel at what his great power can do, those who are dismissive of who Jesus is. Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And so it is that there are some that will not believe. They will be offended. But the words that Jesus spoke, they will judge us, each and every one. And so it was that when he was come into the ship, that he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. A reasonable request. Here it was, the man had been possessed with legion for all this time, and he had mutilated his body. He had destroyed himself, and now he's at peace. He has Jesus has cleansed him of that. And he has this reasonable request. "Lord, I want to be with you." But his prayer was not accepted. And so it is with us sometimes, that we have what we would deem to be a reasonable request. But not always is that request granted. And so Jesus suffers him not, but says unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." So Jesus is telling them, telling this individual, he's saying, here's two things that you need to do. Two things. Go home, tell your friends that great things had happened to you and that Jesus had compassion on you. And that's what Jesus Christ came here to do, is to seek and to save that which was lost. He came and he healed this man. And so Jesus is telling him, "No, you can't come with me, but what I want you to do is I want you to witness for me. I want you to go and tell your friends. Go tell them. The Lord hath done great things for me, and he had compassion on me." And what greater witness can we give when we are speaking to others of what Jesus Christ has done for us? We were in that darkness, and God translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We can give a good witness to others of who Jesus is and what he has done for us, but more so pointing to Jesus, more so pointing to him and saying to others, "The Lord had compassion on me. I would have destroyed myself if I continued in the lifestyle that I was. I would have destroyed myself, and I would have been a burden unto others, because when I sin, others are impacted by that as well." And so he was told to speak of what great things the Lord hath done, and we are to speak of the great things that the Lord hath done for us, and to testify of the great things that God hath done for us. And then how he had compassion on us. It was the Lord's doing. There was no man that could tame this man or bind this man. It was only the power of Jesus. Likewise for ourselves. We can't tame or bind ourselves, our sin, or our desire to sin. It has to be Jesus. Jesus and his power alone that can do these things. The Bible speaks of fear and how God did not give us that spirit of fear. And that wasn't a desire, and God desires that we would have a spirit of trust and of faith in him. So the Bible says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love, and of a sound mind. And just as this man who had been possessed with legions, he is now sitting, and he is in his right mind. And that's what God had done for us, is that he had given unto us that spirit of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Let's always remember that the way of the devil is violence, but the way of God and the way of Jesus Christ for us is the way of peace. and having a sound mind. The Bible says that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is what God hath done. We didn't do that of ourselves. God did that for us. And I guess I want to read a verse that would speak to that. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It wasn't our ability to bind sin in our lives and to dispel it out of our lives. It's the power of Christ. And it's that power that we adore. It's that power that we sing praises to. And it's that power that we submit to. It's that power that cleanses. It's that power that brings us light, not of ourselves. And so the Bible says here, God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that's what happened with the demonic person there in Gadarea, how he was translated from that power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise be to God for that. That he has done that for each and every one of us who have a faith in him and who believe in Jesus Christ and walk in newness of life and let his spirit operate in us. Not our willful spirit, not a spirit that would be of what we once were, but a new spirit that would guide us and bring us into that kingdom of God's dear Son. And so, just in closing, I'd like to read some verses in Galatians chapter 5 of how it explains how we once were, as the man possessed by Legion, in darkness, dwelling in the tombs, cutting ourselves, crying out, and to being clothed in our right minds and sitting in peace. The Bible speaks of this is the darkness where we once were. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That was dwelling among the tombs. We were there without Christ. But once Christ came into us, now his spirit operates, and we walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. May God grant unto us that we would continue in the way of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Truly, we've been reminded again this morning, the ways of the Lord, the ways of Jesus Christ, are much higher than man's ways. Jesus possessed and taught in this scripture a humble attitude, an eternal perspective, and a divine appointment. And his ways are higher than our ways. The demons asked the Lord if they could go into the swine, and Jesus permitted them. The crowds that did not want anything to do with the Lord sent him away, and he said, okay, I'm going. And the man who was cleansed and healed and liberated pleaded with the Lord to be with him, and to this man he said, no. I have a lesson to teach you. I have something better. For the one who will reject the Lord allows him to take his path of destruction and do the things that he wants, knowing that they are choosing their way. But the one who has been cleansed and has been healed, he teaches, not my will be done, thy will be done. He teaches, I must decrease, but thou must increase. And who better to teach that lesson than Jesus Christ, the one who prayed in the garden, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Jesus didn't worry about the loss of the swine and all of the money that could have been gotten at the market for the farmers that had their herds destroyed, when in comparison to this man who had gained the spiritual freedom and was healed and was cleansed. He knows that each and every one of us are worth more than a herd of swine, are worth more than many sparrows. And it was no comparison. He knew that even though the crowds might reject him, that there would be a power in a testimony of one man that would speak of the healing, of the power of Jesus Christ, that would eventually bring a testimony that would make them marvel. So he wasn't worried about the loss. Who better to teach that than the one who did not have a home and who denied himself all the glory of the kingdoms of this world and chose instead to suffer and to die for us and to count it no comparison, but endured the cross for our salvation. Jesus was determined, and he was sent on a mission, led by his Father to pass over the sea to the other side, and he would not be deterred by the storm that came up. And it could not hold him back, nor the legions of demons that possessed the man could they hold back the power of Jesus Christ, who with a single word was able to make them submit. He had a divine appointment, and he had a divine appointment for this man to go home to his friends, to tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. It reminds me, reminds all of us, the Lord has a work for us to do and a word for us to speak. It is the things that he has done and his great testimony and his great faithfulness. This man had a great and divine appointment given to him. What is your divine appointment and mine? Perhaps it could be something as simple as going home around the dinner table, giving our testimonies and sharing of what the Lord is doing, even in this past week, in our lives, and nurturing an appreciation and value for the things of God and how he is active today. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, and I don't know what the Lord is instructing and speaking to your heart. One thing that I do know, each and every one of us, we had a divine appointment. It was this morning to hear the word and to be taught by the Master. May God bless his word to our hearts, and may the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, receive all the thanks and the praise. Amen.
Amen.